This is an interview with Governor Vic Atieh. This is tape four, side two. I guess I was wondering, Ben Musa was the chair of the Speaker's Committee, and then and the Speaker was Bob Duncan. And I was wondering why you were put on to a committee where they were meant to be loyalists to Bob Duncan.
You have to have a certain number of Republicans on a committee, minority, of course. They didn't really expect a great deal out of me. All they were worried about were the majority Democrats. As long as they went along, they got all the votes
right.
they need, and so that was, we understood what it was all about.
Was that a surprise to you? Or did you expect that there was something like that?
No, I wasn't.
Not surprised.
Either offended or surprised. That's just, okay, that's the way it is. Now I know.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, the state and federal became the committee.
Right.
rules then was the Speaker's Committee.
Mm-hmm. One interesting thing in terms of the Oregon legislative system compared to other states is that there's rules and resolutions in other legislatures is often the doorman to the floor,
mm-hmm.
and they really guide what goes on. And whereas Oregon has a strong speaker system, how do you feel about that system?
I think it's much better.
Mm-hmm.
I get indignant with a small group of people deciding what bills will come before the legislative body. And there have been some suggestions, you know, they worry about the number of bills and stuff, and there ought to be some committee. And I would always say, I'm violently opposed to that. But if there ever is one, I want to be chairman of it.
Well, what did you think of Bob Duncan as a speaker?
No, I think that's terrible. I actually think it does take a lot, and there's a lot of cost involved. But you've got to give, I think, the citizen an opportunity to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bills that just don't make any sense at all, and they're not going to go anywhere. But that doesn't mean that people have a chance to say their piece.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, like our rules are designed, and I believe it very strongly, to allow the majority to prevail. But it also allows the minority to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm perfectly happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about Bob Duncan?
Like Bob Duncan. I liked him ever since. We got along together extremely well. Became good friends. When he's a congressman, I would visit with Bob, been out to his house back in Washington or wherever it was he lived, but anyway, back in that part of the
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, one of my most valued assistants when I was governor worked for Bob Duncan and Pat Amadeo, and she was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of my most valued assistants. So it's been a continuing thing. I see Bob from time to time, not too often. Still a friend of mine.
He lives down on the coast, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were a number of other notable members of that year in the legislature. You had mentioned Monty Montgomery. This was his. He was a freshman that year too, isn't
yes.
that right? What was your impression of him? You said that he was a fairly close.
Yeah.
Associate.
No, he may have been more sophisticated, not sophisticated, but more than I. He was involved in JCs and very active in that, and has gone through, I guess they have campaigns for state president and all that sort of thing. So, you know, he was not totally unaccustomed to some of that. Good man. He was, worked hard at what he did. More lighthearted was Carl Fisher. Very nice guy. We're all still friends today, as I had mentioned earlier.
Another one was Stafford Hansel.
Stafford Hansel. I have said so many times that he's got his head screwed on real good. I could stand for a whole legislature full of Stafford Hansels. Folks from Eastern Oregon, by and large, have got their heads screwed on real good.
How do you account for that?
Well, they're closer to their constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think a lot more people know their elected official there than, let's say, in Multnomah County. A lot of people never see their elected official ever.
Mm-hmm.
back there. They all know, you know, I think they're, and I suppose, if, you know, you get to be farmers or working in among farmers, they're close to where the real world genuinely is. So I think that's what it all happens. And as a governor, I just love to go back to Central and Eastern Oregon. Look forward to those opportunities. People out there, more open. They'll tell you if they like you or don't like you. You know, they don't have to wonder about it. And I think that's what it all comes from. Now you relate to talk to Stafford. I relate now to Mike Thorne, in this case, Democrat. Great guy. Got his head screwed on really good.
Another well-known figure that served that term with you, and of course later on as well, was Grace Peck.
Yes, Gracie.
How do you remember her? How do you recall her?
Two ways. Gracie, a very compassionate woman. Where most of us really never came face to face with the people, particularly those in human resource, welfare, children's, you know, all of that. Gracie knew. Gracie was, you know, she was right there with them. Very wonderful woman. She really was. I liked her an awful lot. Admired her a great deal for that position that she took. Very difficult to debate against, in the sense that Gracie was like many others. If you got up to debate against Grace Peck, she took it as if you were debating against her personally, not the issue. And I would never do that. By that I mean I was always going to debate an issue. But there are many others. She wasn't alone in that, but she was among the most notable of them. If you debate against my bill, you're debating against me personally. No, Gracie, not you. I still like you. It's just I don't like your bill, and so it's hard for people sometimes to make that separation. So I remember both of those things. Of course, the candy thing, anybody to bring up, and. Her desk, I don't know how she was, she barely enough room to for a bill book so that she could do some voting. Just candy and flowers all the time. Always back in that, I guess depends on how, if you're looking from the front of the house, she would be in the back right corner.
And didn't she always play piano at the end of the term, old exile?
She'd do that.
There was Representative Elfstrom.
Bob Elfstrom. Bob was a businessman, kind of quiet, not terribly gregarious, nice fellow.
What about Beulah Hand?
Interesting how you think about these things. And I'm thinking to myself, now Beulah Hand sat over there. I forgot what role it would be, you know. I would just say she was among the legislators that I served with. That's not particularly derogatory, she just was among them. The one I remember as probably being the least effective was Ray Dooley. Now Ray Dooley would have sat in a corner, the very opposite corner from where Grace was. And believe it or not, it was a month or something like that after I was in the session, the first time that I even knew he was a member of the House of Representatives. And I think his the zenith of his career, he got one time when he got up and made a motion to move the previous question, closing off debate. That was the zenith of his career. Ray Dooley was just there.
Lonergan?
Who?
Lonergan.
Oh. I don't remember much about him. Was he there at the time?
He was there at the time. Well, he must have been another ineffective member. What about Al Flagel?
Oh, Al. Good old Al. God, do I remember him. He beat me every time.
How so?
Well, he was one of the leaders in the... If I got up to debate a bill and he got up to debate against it, and the Democrats had a majority, that was the end of the, detail.
So he was a good debater then?
Well, not particularly. He just had the majority with him. He was good, but he wasn't brilliant. The real brilliant debater of all that I've met. Mm-hmm. Now that I've mentioned it to you, and I'm trying to think of his name. Lawyer from Yamhill County. Yamhill County, Polk County. Gosh. I have to go back. This is terrible because he's the only one that I know of that changed votes on the floor by debate.
Well, I've marked this down, and when we eventually, hopefully, we'll come around to his name.
I'll get to it.
And we'll, because that would be an interesting. Well, how was he able to do that?
He was, first of all, very well respected. Mm-hmm. Didn't speak too often. Spoke very well and clearly. He'd say, "This is how I feel, and this is why I feel," and he'd make a good case for it.
Mm-hmm. What about George Van Humisen?
George was a good legislator, very partisan. Mm-hmm. Very partisan. Some were more partisan than others. George was quite partisan.
When you say that, is that not complimentary?
Not particularly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Too often partisan in what he did and how he did it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice fellow, though.
He had a fairly long career, too.
Yes, and a very nice fellow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ed Whalen?
Ed Whalen, great guy. I remember him as a great outspoken person for labor. He did his job. He worked hard at it. Very fair. And in a general way, I have to say this in the tape. In those days, and I'm not sure when you begin to break off those days, I can't tell you that. It was sort of a gradual transition. If somebody told you, "I'm with you," or they told you, "I'm against you," you could take that to the bank. You could count. If you count to 31-29, that's as solid as it can get, or whatever count you come up with. Gradually, that changed, and I can recall as governor asking Lee Johnson, who was my chief of staff, "How many votes do we have, Lee?" And he'd tell me, "Well, we've got 17. I'd say to him, "That's not enough," because the dependability factor had left. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really count on it.
Well, how do you account for that?
I don't know, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's an essential quality.
Oh, I think so. I think there's no question about it.
What about Keith Skelton? He was in that term. I don't know whether that was his first term or not. I think it was.
Well, he was there while I was there. Keith was a very bright guy. I would categorize him as I would George in the sense of being very partisan. Very bright, very personable. I really had very little problem in my own mind dealing with the legislators. You know, when you get in with a group of anybody, mm-hmm. and you're with them for a while, we all make our own judgments. I like that person better for whatever reason than this person. I think this one's brighter than that person. Or, you know, we do those things. It's just the nature of things when we all get together. The only one I really had any problem with, and this would actually be the second term, actually second and third term in the House, was Jake Bennett. Hmm. I had an awful time with him. I did personally. Here's a guy who'd been recalled from office. he'd got elected to the legislature. I said, how can that happen in this great society of ours? Guy's been recalled from office. And he was a cantankerous guy. Oh, he was cantankerous. He was terribly. Matter of fact, I recall in 63, he got Clarence Barton so mad that Clarence Barton broke the gavel trying to get him to sit down. Actually broke the gavel.
Gee.
And we were, let's see if I can reconstruct it. Had something to do with the cigarette tax. I think that's what it was. And there was a debate going on. And I can't recall, but for the sake of example, this will work. The debate went on that it was going to collect, let me say, $12 million. I don't know that's the figure. Initially, it had been predicted to get $15 million. Mm-hmm. Well, I can recall Jake on the floor. He wanted to know where that $3 million went. He wanted to know who was going to get that $3 million. I was mad. Mm-hmm. You know, he's impugning, I'm maybe assuming it myself as a tax committee member, but, you know, he's saying this $3 million had been distributed among who's getting all this $3 million? Well, the fact was that it wasn't going to be for a full biennium, meaning 24 months. It was going to be for, let's say, 18 months. That's where the $3 million went. But I was mad at him, besides saying to myself, this guy, he doesn't deserve to be down here, cantankerous old man. And I really had problems. I really personally had personal problems. It began the second session. Jake was there. That would be 1963. And finally I said to myself, now wait a minute. I know that Jake Bennett doesn't represent his district, but Jake Bennett represents the Jake Bennetts in Oregon. And they're just as entitled to representation as anybody else. I relaxed and I didn't have trouble with them anymore.
Well, one person that seems to evoke a lot of comment, and I know this is probably later on, it was in the Senate. I'm not sure if you served with him or not, but Tom Mahoney.
Mahoney and served with him in the Senate, yes. That was another interesting. Tom Mahoney, for what reason, I can't tell you. I can recall, though, he was just really mad at me for something. I mean, really mad. And he told me, he said, I'm going to get you. And, you know, Mahoney told him, I'm going to get you. He's in a position to get you. Some people say that and they're not in a position to do it. Mahoney was. He didn't scare me. I wasn't intimidated. I just remembered he was angry.
Why was he in a position where he could
get people? He was a majority member, and he was an influential member of the he was, you know, part of the upper crust of the Senate, Democrats. Been there a long time, you know, all that stuff. And over the period of time we served together, mellowed, and when he passed away, I was one of the... those that carried his casket. Strange how those things happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a matter of me buttering up to him or him to me. We just sort of, for whatever reason, I just got along with him real well.
Huh?
But he's the only one, actually, that had probably the last remaining spittoon in the Senate. And he had it. And I'm sure in the early days, everybody had it. Incidentally, in those early days, you could smoke in the chambers. Had ashtrays at your desk. Mm-hmm. No way. for a long time. that body went by the board.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I just sort of lived with it. You could go on what they call outside the bar in that hall.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go there.
And you could listen to what was going on the floor?
Oh, you're right inside the chamber.
Oh, you're in the chamber.
You're just on the other side of that railing.
Right.
And there was the Betty Brown Memorial window where she had the ashtray. And we'd go back and smoke over there. And then pretty soon you couldn't even do that. You just have to live with it, that's all.
Uh-huh.
Just one of those things. Didn't particularly like it, understood it. And but in those days, that's the way it went. Mm-hmm. Mahoney and Bain was another one. Now, Bain and Mahoney didn't like each other. They're both senators from Multnomah County. I can remember that there was some discussion that would have been, well, while Monty Montgomery was Speaker of the House, he'd been 65 or 67, he was Speaker two times, but they began to talk about building the wings on the Capitol building, which they didn't do till later. And Bain saying on the floor of the Senate that they ought to name those wings the Mahoney wings, because those are the only wings he's going to get. That's what Bain said about Mahoney.
And I presume that Tom Mahoney didn't laugh over that.
No, he didn't laugh at that.
Well, he had very different views from yours, didn't he?
Mahoney?
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually not that much different.
Really?
Strange as it may seem. And maybe that's why we eventually got together. Mm-hmm. He had his own way of doing things. Let's see if I can construct this for you. He got up on the floor one day and said, "This bill passed out of committee with a unanimous vote, no, with a majority, yeah, no, a unanimous vote of the majority of those present." That's the way he started out. "This bill came out of committee with a unanimous vote of the majority of those present." And I'm sitting there thinking, Mahoney, you put that out all by yourself. And that's, I'm sure, correct. He was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. People found bills, oh, 2-3 years later, you know, in the desks that he used. I mean, the bills that had been sent to the committee, they were in a drawer. They found them.
People have characterized him as being similar to sort of an old-time Eastern-type politician.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he had his own way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Not when he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, what were the relations with the Senate like during that first term, or maybe even in the first few terms?
I remember most vividly the year 63, when Barton was chairman of the House Committee and Ben Musa was president of the Senate. And it was very, very cantankerous, very bad relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Clarence Barton would have almost a daily press conference, and Ben Musa, and they were going at each other. And being a Republican, not a member of the majority, you know, you sort of sit and watch all of this.
Right.
And I can recall very well, we had a caucus, and usually the Democrats would caucus and the Republicans would caucus, but this time we had a joint caucus. It never happened before that nor since then. And I began to realize the problem that Clarence had. Didn't really think about it before that, because Clarence was almost at his wit's end. He didn't use these words, but something like, "What are we going to do?" You know, almost in desperation. And I'm in the room with the Democrats, along with my Republican colleagues, and all of a sudden I see Kitty Musa sitting there. And the light goes on. There was no way that Clarence Barton could strategize in a caucus, because Ben's wife, Kitty, who's a member of the House of Representatives, she's sitting there. Oh, I hate myself. Now I understand what's going on. And then I did have to laugh. Clarence Barton was big on taxes. And again, in those days, interim committees were passed by both bodies of the House. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a committee, interim committee on public health, an interim committee on taxes, whatever the interim committee was. And there was only a few interim committees. The very last bell was the Interim Committee on Tax. Now, the House and Clarence and Ben had been feuding all session long. We're standing there waiting. The Senate has the Interim Tax Committee bill. We're waiting for that to come back. Clarence wants that bill. He wants the Interim Committee on Taxation. And the Senate got the last word. They passed the bill, but they said a senator had to be chairman. And I laughed. I remember standing there right in front of the podium. I thought, the Senate got the last shot on this.
Yeah.
Now, I really wasn't that emotionally involved like Clarence was. Clarence was really emotionally involved. And I have a tax committee, fine. I'm not, okay, I don't care. But I thought, they got the last shot. And so now he's stuck. He's, you know, it's either a matter of say no way. And, you know, we can't delay the order. This is the very last bill. We're waiting to go home. You know?
Right.
So they got him.
What was the basis to their antagonism, their feud?
Oh, I have to guess they both had very big egos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's probably it.
The newspapers referred to that 63 session as the do-nothing legislature. Is that an appropriate a description for what went on? And
well,
we haven't really
so.
Talked about the other issues, but
I suppose so.
Why was a joint caucus brought together?
I think just out of frustration by Clarence Barton.
Joint being both Republican and Democrat.
That's right. Yeah. That never happened before, as I say, before or since that time.
That seems like an extraordinary thing.
Yeah, I think it was just out of sheer desperation.
How does the caucus work? What is its nature? Is it
well? Obviously, the only one I have privy to are the Republican
sure.
caucuses, and a minority member of a Republican caucus. So you're trying to figure out how you can save your hide, or how they're going to get you, or what
right.
are they going to do?
Were you ever in the majority while you were in?
Never.
Even after you left the House and it became Republican?
I left the House when the House became a majority. And it went to a minority in the Senate. Never, ever. Matter of fact, you may have heard of or seen when we were six Republican senators with a photograph in a phone booth. We get a photograph of the six of us in a phone booth. But you know, obviously there are times when major issues are coming up, mm-hmm. and you're trying to debate those issues. It sometimes, I remember particularly in the Senate, McCaul had his tax bill, which failed on the first vote. My position was that the House, this Republican senator, should vote for it. And but I didn't prevail, and mm-hmm. so we followed the caucus. But we went back into caucus again. Those kinds of things. Other than that, it was basically routine about where we're going, what we're doing, or if somebody had something to say. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't caucus all that much. Democrats would caucus an awful lot, trying to figure out how they're going to keep us from doing whatever they thought we were going to do to them. Every once in a while, there would be. Some motion on the floor, I remember particularly in the House. And when I go back to our freshman days, we Monty, Carl, Doug, myself, Pat Metke less than the other four, we'd get up and make some kind of a motion. And taking the Democrats by surprise, quite often we'd win. But then all of a sudden they'd call a recess and they'd go into caucus and then we'd get steamrollers. Now wait a minute, guys, you don't understand what's going on here. And back they'd come and everything would so they would have caucuses to kind of protect themselves from us Republicans. But that's fundamentally it would be an issue or some parliamentary thing or one thing or another would call for. Let's regroup, guys, and see where we are.
Your first term in the House, and Walter Pearson was president of the Senate.
Yes.
Did you encounter him at all, or did you have much to do with him?
Yeah, I didn't. I've always had an attitude as if I'm unelected, I'm just as important as anybody else. Mm-hmm. I have the same right to speak. I have the same. I mean, I wasn't intimidated by anybody. And there is a press, I saw a clipping here not too